Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Ayin Beis. We left off on Daf Ayin Aleph Amin Beis. We are at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Ayin Aleph Amin Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom. It is also sponsored by Beryl Eckstein, in commemoration of the artside of his father, Rabbi Shimon Aryeh Leib Ben Rav Yecheskel Chaim Eckstein. The Neshama Shavan Aliyah, we thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to elaborate on the cases, each of the nedarim that the husband imposes on the wife in our Mishnah, and why each of them is considered to be something that is unreasonable. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how Knesset Yisrael is considered to be like a kalat. Did I miss one? It is also sponsored in memory of Yechiel Seyman by Yechiel, in memory of Yechiel Seyman, Yechiel Dov Ben Chaim, whose yard says on Shabbos, the neshama should have an aliyah. So I printed that. I don't know. Okay. So first we're going to discuss each of the nedarim that the husband imposes on the wife, what's unreasonable about them. We're going to talk a little bit about how Knesset Yisrael is similar to a kala, and then the Gemara is going to, then we're going to have a Mishnah on Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah is going to talk about what causes a woman to lose her ksuba, meaning in what way do we assume that she's ruining the marriage, that you're motzi without a ksuba. Then the Gemara discusses, we're going to explain each case where she's machshil him, because that's normally what it takes to lose the ksuba, that she's machshil him in averos. So the Gemara is going to talk about just what the metzias is. How did he find out about it? And if he knew about it, why didn't he just avoid it? So if he didn't know about it, so then how could he divorce her based on it? So we're talking about the metzias of how such cases could exist. The Gemara is going to talk about why nadronis is so bad. A woman who takes nadarim, what's so terrible about taking nadarim? Then we're going to talk a little bit about women's head covering. This is the primary sugya in Shas, about a requirement of a woman to cover her, of a married woman to cover her hair. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about when it is considered kiddushei ta'us and when it's not kiddushei ta'us. The things that she does aren't kiddushei ta'us, but just instead cause her to lose her ksuba. So let's begin with the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. So we had said in the Mishnah that if a man is Madir's wife, that she shouldn't go to the Beis Avia, but they live in a different city. The father lives in a different city. So we had said that regel echad yikayim, for one regel they can stay married and that's fine. But shlosha yotzi v'yitin ksuba, keep such another in place for shalosh regalim, he's going to have to divorce her and pay her ksuba. So says Mar, well, hagufa kasha amrit regel echad yikayim, the diuk is hashnayim yotzi v'yitin ksuba, that they could stay married for one regal. The implication is that for two regalim, he'd already have to be motzi and yitin ksuba. Ema seifa, but then the seifa, then the very next words say shlosha yotzi v'yitin ksuba. If such a neder endures for three regalim, he's motzi and he pays a ksuba. Implication is hashnayim ikayim, that if it were only two regalim, then they'd be able to stay married. So which is it? What do we say about two regalim? Sam Rabbi seifa son the kohenes, that the seifa where it says that two regalim, you can stay married, it's talking about a kohenes, Rabbi Yehuda here. And we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that we're always a little more patient with the kohenes. Because when you're going to tell a kohen to be megarish ishto, that means that it's a decision that has finality to it. There's no going back on such a decision. Another answer, Rabba Bar Ula Amar, Lokasha, Kan Beredufa, Kan B'She'en Redufa. The difference between the Seif and the Reisha is the Reisha is talking about a woman who's always going to Beis Avia. So if you're Madir her for Shnei Regalim, you already have to divorce her because she's not going to be able to withstand that. She's very connected to her parents' home. Whereas in Einar Redufa, a woman is not as connected to Beis Avia, so she'll be able to withstand two Regalim, just not three Regalim. Once we mentioned the idea that there's such a concept of an Isha Redufa, a woman who's always going to Beis Avia, so the Gemara brings a drasha about Knesset Yisrael and how we, in a certain sense, are like a Kala that is Redufa to go to Beis Avia. It says in Shir HaShirim that Knesset Yisrael is praised and says HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Anichoma v'shadei kemugdalos, and the pasuk continues Oz ha'yisi be'enov kimotzei Shalom, that I am in the eyes of Dodi, of my beloved, right? I guess that's an Elul coincidence, Anil Dodi V'Dodi Li, that I am in the eyes of my beloved, Kamotzei Shalom. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what does it mean, Kamotzei Shalom? Ki Kala Shenimtzei Shleima B'Beis Chamel, like a Kala that is complete in her husband's house, Rudufa Leiluch Lagad Shivcha B'Beis Aviyah, that even though she has everything she needs in her husband's house, she runs to the Beis Aviyah. How can you expect her to be accepted in Beis Chamel if every 2 seconds she's running back to Beis Aviyah? So Knesset Yisrael says that we've been beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are Shalim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we have no need to run anywhere else. So the Gemara Darshan is about Knesset Yisrael being like a Kala in a different context as well. The Pasuk in Hosea, it talks about what's going to be La'asod Bavo, and it says V'ayah Bayomahu Nuhum Hashem Tikri Ishi V'lo Tikri Li Od Bali. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, what does the Pasuk mean that Knesset Yisrael is called HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Ishi, as a Lashon of Ishus, Kikala B'beis Chamiya, like a Kala that's already married to her husband, and she's in her in-law's house, and she's not embarrassed from her husband because she feels already very comfortable to her. V'lo Kikala B'beis Aviya, not like a Kala who's only Be'erisin, not Nisun, where she's still a little bit embarrassed and she's a little bit shy when she's around her husband because she's not yet fully comfortable yet. It's only when they get married, only when they have Nisun, that they become fully comfortable with each other. Hamadir is Ishta. The Mishnah said someone takes a neder that his wife shouldn't go to a Beis Avil or Beis Mishta, so he's Yoti Vitin Ksuba. That's considered to be he's destroying the marriage by taking such a neder that his wife is not allowed to go to such places. So Bishlam the Beis HaMishta, I understand why Beis HaMishta Ika Noel Bifanel. That's that's suffocating her. She's not allowed to go to a wedding. She's not going to be able to go to any Simcha. El Beis HaEvel, my Noel Bifanel Ika. What's so bad about not being able to go to a Beis HaEvel? Meaning, why is that in the Ilas Delas that she is something that she can't withstand, that she must go to Beis HaEvel? So Tanu the Machri Mesav Ein Kol Bria Softa Vigadam Ein Kol Bria Sofna, because everybody eventually dies. So if she was known to never participate in helping others through their times of grief, so when she dies, no one is going to be maspid her, and some say no one is going to sofna, bury her, because she never did chesed with other people, so other people are not going to do chesed with her. In the Magen Giborim, he explains what are the two Lashonos arguing about. He says the Mandiyam that says Ein Kol Bria Softa holds that there's no chash that they're not going to bury her, because Kvuras Meis is a mitzvah that applies to everybody, to Meis Mitzvah, and also it's not an expectation that she would have buried anybody. It's not the derech of an isha likvar mesim. So therefore, we're not choshesh that no one's going to bury her. We're only choshesh no one's going to be maspid her. But the Yikad Yamri doesn't want to say that it's going to be a menias haspid, because it's a suffix in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav. If hespeda is yakir dechayi or yakir deshichvi, it could be that hespeda has nothing to do with her. It's about her family that we give hespedim in order to honor the family. So regardless of what she did, they may still be maspid her. So that's the nukudas amachlokas of what exactly is a greater concern. Tanya, here a Meir Omer, my dechsiv tov lechus al beis evel lechus al beis mishta. What does the pasuk mean in Kohelas when it says that it's better to go to a beis evel than to go to a beis mishta? Basher hu sof kol adam, because everybody ultimately dies. Va'chay yitin alibo, and therefore it will cause the living to contemplate that fact. So Rav Meir explains the pasuk, my va'chay yitin alibo. What does it mean va'chay yitin alibo? What exactly is one supposed to internalize at a beis evel? Dvarim shal miso, when he goes to a beis evel, he should contemplate that one day he'll get there also, and therefore do not withhold chesed with the mason, because the midah that he behaves with other people, others will behave with him. The sapa disped nua, someone who's maspid other people, others will be maspid him. The cover yikperune, if he's cover other people, others will be cover him. The adel yadlune, someone who raises his voice and crying and hespid on others that died, the people will cry about him. The lavayil of nua, someone who's malava the mita of another mace, when he dies, someone will be malava him. Someone who carries the mita of others in their levaya, so others will carry him. And therefore, a person should think about this while he's still alive, so that he can engage in all of these things. So the Ben Yoyada just raises a simple question over here. He says, why doesn't it go in order? First, it's you're towing in the mace, and then you're malava the mace, and only then you're kover the mace. And yet, we list all these things in the wrong order. So he says, we said Hesped and Kvura first, because those are things that are done by particular people who are designated to do these things. That not everybody is a Sapta, not everybody is a Kavran. That's apparently designated, I guess the young and the strong are the ones that are Kover, the people who are good speakers are the ones that give Hespedim. And since it starts with the Hesped, which is done first after the Ptira, before the Kvura, so we mentioned the Kvura, which is similar to it. And then we discuss things that are done by everybody, like the Levaya and the carrying and the escorting and all of those things that are done by everybody. Another important comment, Hafla writes over here, that L'chora, this whole Gemara is a kasha on the Maimer Chazal, that Ezu Chesed Shalemes, Sha'osim Mameisim, that Chesed, Aseim Chesed V'emes, Yaakov Vina says, Chesed Shalemes, the Rashi and Chumash says, is Chesed Sha'osim Mameisim, because you're not Mitzapeh L'tashlum Gemul. Why is Chesed that you do with the Mason the greatest Chesed Shalemes? Because you can never hope to be repaid. This whole Gemara says it's exactly what you hope for, that you do all of these Chesedim just so that you can get repaid one day. So the Hafla suggests that it's still not like other Tashlum Gemul, because that person himself, normally when you do a favor to somebody, you expect that person themselves to pay you back. Over here, it's just paid forward, meaning each person does it so that someone else, a different person, will pay them back. But the person that you're doing the chesed with is never going to pay you back. And in that sense, it's a chesed shalemes, klape the recipient of the chesed, not klape the giver of the chesed. And then we had said that if he's talking mishum davar acher, that it's because of davar acher that she can't go to Beis Avel, Beis HaMishnah, then that's a reasonable thing. My davar acher, what is the davar acher that prevents her to go to Beis Avel, Beis HaMishnah? Because it's a place where there are a lot of people that are prutzim. Amra, and he doesn't want her to be influenced by that. Amra, or be ensnared by their advances. Amra vashi lo amara and el dischazik. But that you can only take such a neder that she can't go to Beis Avel, Beis HaMishnah be on account of the prutzim if it's a place that it's muchzak, that there are prutzim there. Avalo ischazik lo kol kaminei. But he can't just decide on his own that he thinks everybody is a parutz and therefore she can't go anywhere. It has to be something that everybody knows that there are prutzim and that this is an inappropriate place to be. And if the Mishnah had said, if he tells her, Almanas, that you tell Ploni what you said to me, so he's Yoti Vitin Ksuba. So it says Mar Vitema, what's the big deal? Let her say what she said to him. Amridum Shmuel, Dvarim Shalkala. No, it's something embarrassing. So she doesn't want to tell it to other people. And he's forcing her to say embarrassing things about herself. So again, he cannot take away her dignity. Or he demands that she fills up buckets and pours them out into the garbage. That also is Yotzi Vitim Ksuba. Says, what's the big deal? Let her fill up some buckets and pour it out into the garbage. So two answers. First is that this is all a euphemism. That it means that after they have Tashma Shemitah and her rechem is full of Shechva Zera, she should contort her body in such a way to try to remove all the Shechva Zera from her body so that she doesn't become pregnant. And that she doesn't have to listen to him for. Instead, she could say, you're destroying our marriage and you'll have to divorce her and pay her Ksuba. That's one answer. No, it's literal. It's not everything's a euphemism. It's about filling up buckets and emptying them out. That she's filling up buckets and just emptying them out in a way that's useless. The first explanation, I understand why he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba, because it's something that's terrible, that he's telling you, he's making her never want to never become pregnant, because that he doesn't want to ruin her beauty. But if you say like that, it's literal. So what difference does it make to her if she's a tiavid? Let her just do it. What's the big deal? No, it makes her look like a deranged person. She's schlepping the whole day, filling up buckets and emptying out. Again, one cannot rob his wife of her dignity. If a person takes a neder that his wife should not borrow things from other people or lend to other people, and Nafa, ukvara, v'rechayim, v'tanur, things that are normal kitchen appliances, yotzi v'itin ksuba. He can divorce her, he has to divorce her and pay her ksuba, shemasiya shemra v'shchenusa, because when he takes such nadarim against her, he's saying that she cannot be a normal participant in a community. Normal neighborly thing to do is you lend people things from the kitchen when they need it. So if he's going to give her a bad name in the neighborhood, that she's a stingy person, that she's not sharing and giving, so that is something that he's not allowed to do to his wife. Tanya Nami Yachi, Madir Sishto Shlotish of Lotash, Bashil, and we have a Bryce that says just like this, that if take the person takes a neder, that his wife should not lend or borrow enough or cover b'chayim b'tanur, different types of sieves or mills or portable ovens, yotzi v'yitin ksub m'neishu masiyah shem rab v'shchein usa, because he's giving her a bad reputation. V'chein hi shenot v'shalotash v'shalotashil, and if she takes a neder that she won't borrow or lend enough of a cover b'chayim b'tanur, shalotarik b'gadim nam l'banav, or that she's not going to weave nice clothing for the children, presuming that that was the minute that the mothers would weave children clothing for the children, then they get divorced and she loses her ksuba. Because by her taking such a darm, she's going to give him a bad reputation in the neighborhood, and she can't do that either. Each one has to try to, maybe it's a stam a good muser, that not only should each one not try to ruin the other's reputation, each one should try to enhance the other's reputation in the neighborhood. But certainly ruining each other's reputation in the neighborhood is considered to be something that is destroying the marriage, and therefore is grounds for divorce. So now the new Mishnah. The following violations are things that if a woman violates these things, she, when they get divorced, she does not get her ksuba. First, if a woman is in violation of Das Moshe, which is Yisurim Daraisa, and Das Yehudis min hagim of tsnius that Jewish women have. Jewish women are known to be more tsnua and have a higher sensitivity to tsnius, so if she doesn't live up to the communal norms of tsnius, that's considered a violation of Das Yehudis. So the Rashba and the Rosh quote the Ravid that someone who doesn't want to divorce an Overis al Das, we're not going to force him to divorce her, because the Gemara in Sota Daf Chavhei has a suffix about this, and it's not poshet the suffix, but mitzvah lagarsha. And that's how the Rashba and the Rosh write. And Tosfos writes as well. According to the Rashba, the Maskar and the Gemara is we don't force him to divorce her. That's what the Ritva says as well. The Rambam writes that Overis al Das Moshe al Das Yehudis, we don't force the husband, but and Imratza lo yotzi. If he wants, he doesn't have to divorce her. And even though he doesn't divorce her, she still doesn't get her ksuba because she's been in violation of these things. Because ksuba is a takanas chum, that it shouldn't be kalabain of lotzia. So since the whole purpose of ksuba is a takanas chum, that it shouldn't be easy to divorce her. But in these cases, we don't mind if he divorces her because she's overis al das moshe al das yehudis. So she loses the rights to the ksuba because the whole purpose of the ksuba is unnecessary. So again, ve'el yotze shlo b'ksuba, anyone who's overis al das moshe or al das yehudis. So what does that mean? Ezu hi al das moshe. What types of maisa avera would be considered al das moshe that she gets divorced without a without a ksuba? So the Mishnah lists machilas osheinu meusar. She feeds him produce that maestros haven't been taken from mishamash lo nida. She has tashmash with him while she's a nida, meaning he didn't know that she was a nida. She claims to have gone to the mikveh and she didn't. V'lo kotzala chala. She's not mafresh chala. No deris ve'ena mekayemes. She takes nedarim and she's not mekayim the nedarim. So the lechora, these are all isurim daraisa that she's machshel her husband in. So shouldn't we just say any isur daraisa? Why is it that that we dafka mention these isurim in particular? So the Maram Shif says, based on a Rash, that a woman doesn't lose her ksuba because she violates any averos midaraisa. It's only because she makes it unlivable for her husband, because she's constantly being machshel him with the types of averos that she violates. So if she doesn't keep a kosher kitchen, that's being machshel him. If she doesn't go to the mikveh, that's being machshel him. Whatever she does in her personal life, she speaks lashon hara on the phone to her friends and it's got nothing to do with him and he's not around, she doesn't lose her ksuba, because things that she does that are her own personal averos, so that's her personal averos. She does averos, so that's her issue. But that's not something that's considered to ruin the marriage. I just interviewed a guy for smicha. He told me that his father is very frum, learns 2 star a day, and his mother's not religious b'chol, like kosher. In the house, she does. So I said, how does that work? He said, my father became a balchuva. My mother wasn't along for the ride, you know, when he was a little kid, and their marriage works because she's not machshelim. And so that, as long as she's not machshelim, so then you could do such a thing, an unusual arrangement. But as long as she's not machshelim and she respects him, so then you could do such a thing. But if she's machshelim, then that destroys the whole marriage. Ve'ezu das Yehudis. What is das Yehudis? Yotzav rosha pruah v'tova b'shut, a woman who goes out to Rosh Hasharabim with her hair uncovered, or she's tova b'shut, she spins thread in the marketplace, or medaberesim kol adam, she's speaking with all sorts of people. So the Gemara is going to discuss what each of those mean. Abishalom or afam kalalus yoldav b'funav, that there's a fourth item in the category of das yudis, she's cursing his parents in front of him. Rabbi Tarfon Omer af hakalanis, a fifth person in the category is someone who's very loud. Ve'izi kalanis l'kshimidavaris p'tach beisu shchina shomen kola. Kalanis means that she's so loud that when she's speaking in her house, all the neighbors hear everything that she's saying, and the Gemara is going to identify that she's talking about very sensitive things when she does this. It's not just stam that she's a loud and friendly, vivacious kind of person. Is that she's speaking about things that shouldn't be spoken about publicly, and she's advertising it to the entire world. So we said one of the violations of Das Moshe is she feeds him things that are eino mu'usar, that produce that Trumas and Maestros haven't been taken from. So Yechidami, what exactly is the case? Idi yada, if the husband knew about this when he ate it, when he was eating it, Nifrosh, why doesn't he just mafresh the Maestros, and then he won't be in violation of anything? Rav Elchanan is medayik from here, that if the husband also violates these averos, then the woman doesn't lose her ksuba, because the Gemara's halakasha is, if he was doing it willingly, so who cares? So how could he possibly make her, divorce her and make her lose her ksuba? So if he's not religious either, if he does, he's not makbid about these halachas either, so then certainly she doesn't lose her ksuba. That was their understanding in the marriage, that they weren't going to be religious, so that's not something that, it's terrible, but it's not something that's going to cause her to lose her ksuba. The Tosos is bothered by what the Gemara's Kasha is over here, meaning how do we know that the Mishnah is not talking about that the husband knew and he didn't, and because he knew, he avoided eating. He ate takeout because he knew that he couldn't eat any of the stuff that she was feeding him because it was all Eina Mu'usar. So Tosos ultimately comes to the conclusion that if he was never actually Nichshal, she could just say, oh, I was just messing with you. I was just joking around. I knew that you weren't going to actually eat it. I would have stopped you before you actually ate it. So it has to have come to the point where he actually ate it. Otherwise, she's not going to lose her ksuba. So again, so if he knew about it, let him be mafresh the maestros. He delo yada, and if he didn't know about it, mina yada. How does he know about it now? So says Melo tzricha da armalei ploni kohen tikun liyasakri. Now the case is, she said that I went to a certain kohen who took the maestros for me. Vazel v'shaylei. So the husband ran into that kohen and he said, oh, thank you so much for helping my wife out with the trumas of maestros yesterday. Vishtakach shikra. And the kohen said, what are you talking about? I never met your wife. I don't know what you're even saying. So he caught her in a lie. Only if he catches her in the lie, that's the case of our Mishnah. The Ritva says that's the only case we could think of. Why not just say that she was moda, that she lied? Meaning sometimes she feels guilty, so she comes and she's moda. So he quotes a Ravid that hoda is not going to help because ein adam mesem atzmo rasha. So if she is moda that she was feeding him davar she'ena masukan, she's not going to be believed because ein adam mesem atzmo rasha. But the Ritva rejects that Ravid because that klal is only by a hoda beknas. But a modal chaveru that you owe them money, like you stole from them or your choval, you have to pay. And the reason the Gemara doesn't say that she was moda is because it's just a davar shei l'shchiach, that she would be moda to such a thing. That's what the Ritva suggests instead. One could argue, I think I saw some of the achronim, I don't recall, that if she's moda derech tshuva, then it's not going to ruin the marriage, meaning he has no longer as a chiyuv to be mosi v'itin ksuba. If she's doing it derech tshuva, she's moda by saying, I did a terrible thing and I'm moda and I'm trying to do tshuva and I want to be better, so maybe derech tshuva it's going to be a different story. We have shailas like that sometimes. Once had a shaila where a woman, a couple was married, it was a newlywed, after a year of marriage, she was modetim that for the last 6 months she hadn't been going to the mikvah and she'd been lying about it. So how does a marriage recover from that? I don't know if it can, but that's a question whether they're allowed to stay. Is he allowed to stay with her, right? Because if she was machshel him in nida before, it could be that he has an obligation to divorce her. So anyway, mishamashto nida, so speaking of, right, so mishamashto nida, say, hey, chidami, what's the case of mishamashto nida? Idi yada, but if he was aware of it, nifrosh, so don't be boel her. Idi lo yada, if he was unaware of it, nismuch ilva, he's allowed to rely on and trust that she's not a nida. Damrav chinabar kanam shmol minay l'nida shesefers li'atzma, how do I know that a nida goes through the whole process on her own? She counts the shivinakim on her own, and we trust her to do this. Shenemar v'safra la shavas yamim. The pasuk says v'safra la shavas yamim. La liatzma. La means that it's eilech and bisurin. She does this on her own. So it says more. Latzricha da amralei ploni chacham tir liyasadan. No, the case is that she said, oh, remember that shayla I had? I brought it to the rabbi, and the rabbi said that it was okay. Va'azel shayla v'shtach l'shikra. And the husband saw the rabbi and he said, thank you for answering my wife shayla. And he said, your wife never brought me a shayla. So we know that she's lying. V'ibay same with Rav Yehuda. Damar Rav Yehuda huxka nida b'shchenoseha baloloka la mishum nida. Or it could be like Rav Yehuda that she was wearing, where Rav Yehuda assumes that if a woman wears big day needles, which was something that women used to do when they were in nida, certainly in times where there were no igtum and tahara, and everyone had to know to make sure that their truma and mishkav and moshav and things like that to be aware of a nida. So that's enough of a chazaka that she's a nida that the husband will get malchus for being with her. So she wasn't wearing big day needles when he came home from work, but that whole day she was wearing big day needles, and all the neighbors saw that she was wearing big day needles. So that's how, that's a case of mishamashto nida. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Kiddushin says malkin ala chazakos, that sometimes we can give malchus even though we don't know for sure. It's just based on the chazaka, and it brings a raya from this Rav Yehuda that we don't know that she's a nida. It's only she's muchzekas as a nida because she wears big day needles. V'lo kotza l'chala, or she's not mafresh chala. So again, hechidami idi yada. If he was aware that she was not mafresh chala, nifrosh, let him be mafresh chala. V'idelo yada mina yada. And if he didn't know that she wasn't mafresh chala, who told him afterwards that she wasn't mafresh chala? So l'tzricha d'amrle ploni gabel tikam liyasiisa. As she said, so and so helped be mafresh chala for me. V'azel shayle, and he went and he asked so and so v'shtak. And it turned out that she was lying. Then we said v'nodaris v'ena mekayemis. Another terrible violation that costs her is taking nedarim and not fulfilling them. Damar mar ba'avon nedarim b'alem esim, because the nedarim are so terrible that ba'avon nedarim b'alem esim, that children die as a result of their parents' nedarim. Shneamar, because the pasuk Kohel says al titin espicha lahachti aspisarecha ve'ezo hein ma'ase yadav shel adam. The pasuk continues v'al tomer v'amal kishkagi hilam ayiksof elokim al kolecha v'chibel as ma'ase yadecha. At the end of the pasuk is v'chibel as ma'ase yadecha, that ultimately it's going to destroy your ma'ase yadecha. So what are the ma'asei yadav shel adam aviyomer banav ubnosav? So it says v'chibel as ma'asei yadecha. So the pasuk is saying that it's because of the avon nedarim. Al titein picha. Picha is b'avon nedarim. That's going to be chovel ma'asei yadecha. Rav Nachman amar mehacha, that it's a different pasuk. Pasuk says in Navi Yirmiyah, l'shav hikesi es b'neichem, l'shav al iske shav. Because of shavuas shav, because of nedarim, things that are that you're not mekayim, that people are meshaker b'nedarim. So then, hikesi espanechem. That's going to cause children to, Rachman al-Tzlan, children to die. Tanya, if a man knows about his wife, that she takes nedarim and she doesn't fulfill the nedarim, you don't have to divorce her. Try to fix it by yachzer v'yadirena, meaning make her take other nedarim. Says, well, yadirena, but my misakina, how does that solve the problem? You're just going to exacerbate the problem. No, it means, ele yachzer v'yaknitena, cause her some aggravation, so that she'll take the nedarim in front of you, so that you'll see all the nedarim, you'll hear all the nedarim that she takes, viyafrala, and then you'll be able to be made for the nedarim. So you'll sort of take control of the fact that she has this propensity to take nedarim by baiting her into taking the nedarim in front of you, and then you'll be made for the nedarim. So Amlo, the Chum said, "Ein adam darim nachash bekfifa," that a person cannot. The Chum said back, "No, you can't be expected to be on top of all that and to make sure that you're baiting her into the nedarim, and you'll be. You know, a person can't live like that. A person can't live a life like that. Can't be expected to live a life like that. And you're not going to catch every time. She'll take nedarim at times that you're not going to be around. It's going to be impossible." Tanya Hayrabuda. Similarly, Rabbi says, if he knows that his wife is not mafresh chala, don't divorce her. Just every time she makes a dough, just go and take off a little piece from the end. So, no, you're not going to know every time she's making chala. It's not to be expected that she's going to need all the doughs, and you're going to run in and be mafresh chala every time. That's an unreasonable expectation for the husband to live like that. So, the one who taught Rabbi Yehuda, who came up with this takana, with regard to Hafrashas Chala, which is something that's very common, Kol Shekein Ahach certainly would say that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that this is a good takana for Avon Nedarim. Avol Man Demasni Ahach, but if you say that Rabbi Yehuda came up with this tikkun only by Nedarim, Avol Ha Zimn Demikri Va'achil. But when it comes to Hafrashas Chala, there are going to be times where he's not going to realize, and he's going to end up eating something that's tevel, and he's going to be nichshal and iser. So it could be that Rabbi Yehuda only said this with regard to the Nedarim case and not with regard to the Chala case. Good. Then the Mishnah went from Das Moshe to discussing Das Yehudis. Veizri Das Yehudis Yotzav Rosh Prua. If she goes with her hair uncovered, that's a violation of Das Yehudis, and therefore she loses her ksuba. Rosh Prua Dalraisahi. Rosh Prua, that's a Dalraisa. It's not just a minig of Benos Yisrael, of Tznius, of Das Yehudis. Tichsiv, how do I know Rosh Prua is Dalraisa? Pasuk says in the Parsha of Sota, Upara es Rosh Isha, V'tanat Be'er Rabbi Shmuel, Asara L'Benos Yisrael, Shleyesu, Prua Rosh. That since we are Parea, the Rosh of the Sota, we see that typically she's not allowed to have Perua Rosh. So it's an Issa D'Oraisa. The fact that the Kohen is Perea, the Rosh Isha, you see that up until that time her head was covered. So why does it say in our Mishnah that the Issa of going with Perua Rosh is only Das Yehudis and not a Das Moshe? So it says more, D'Oraisa, Kilta, Shapir Dami. On a D'Oraisa level, she could wear a woven basket on her head, meaning which has holes in it where you could sort of see through it. That's okay. Das Yehudis, Afil, Kilta, Nami, Aser. But the lace top shetel, so to speak, well, not at least, it was just the lace, right? So just the lace would be without any hairs on top of it, right? So that would be a violation of Das Yehudis, but it would not be a violation of Das Moshe. Am Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Kalta, if she covers her head with this type of basket that has holes in it that's somewhat see-through, ein b'mishum perua rosh. That's not a violation of perua rosh. So Avibar Rabbi Zera, heicha, what do you mean it's not a violation of perua rosh? Where are you talking about? Ilei mebashuk, if it's somehow going out in public, Das Yehudis, we just identified that as a violation of Das Yehudis. Look, it's not a violation of Das Moshe, it's better than nothing, but it's a violation of Das Yehudis. You can't just cavalierly say, ein b'mishum perua rosh, vel b'chatzar, why, you're telling me that she's wearing the kilt and the chatzar? If that were a problem, if you required her to wear a kilta in the chatzar, no Jewish girl would be able to stay married. Everyone would have to divorce their wives, because most women go in their chatzar without any kisui, without even a kilta, because there were no people around the chatzar. So if it's totally private, so it's very rare that you have a case like Kimchis, who had shiva banim that were kohanim gedolim, because even the kosle besa never saw the saros rosha. That's very rare. Most women aren't expected to do that, so she goes in the chatzar all the time without anything on her head. So Rabbi Bitim Rav Kahana mechatzar lechatzar darach mavui. No, she goes to like a semi-private area where people might see her for a moment or two. So in such a case, we say that if she's wearing a kilta, that's good enough. So it seems very clear in the Gemara, in a public place where other people are going to see her for extended periods of time, she needs to be fully covered. In a private area where no one's going to see her at all, so then she doesn't have to cover her hair at all. In a place where people might see her for a moment or two, where she's just running through from one place to another, so then a lesser covering will suffice. V'tova b'shuk, we said one of the other violations of Das Yehuda is that she spins thread in the shuk. So what's so bad about spinning thread? The way she positions her arms, if she has loose sleeves, is that the sleeves go all the way up and her upper arms become exposed. Rav Chisda Ravimi b'tova vered k'negen paneha. No, she spins the thread in such a way where one of the strands goes. Hangs, dangles around parts of her body that are more of a derech pritzos to draw attention to. That's Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, right? According to the Shidduch Mevetzes, when people are passing by, she sees to it that some of the strings go to a place where the eye is going to catch, where people are going to see, are going to look at that parts of the body. So the impression you get is that fashion is also, a person has to be careful, when a woman has to be careful when she buys dresses, that there shouldn't be accentuations of even if she's fully covered, it's not only about being fully covered, that this is considered a pritzos where it accentuates certain parts. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos writes that when she's Yosheves V'tov B'shuk, she puts a verit or a hadas or a rimon in gabos eineha. So a little bit different, like on somewhere on her eyes, and that was a practice of the pritzos of that generation. That's what they would do. Okay, and we said one of the other violations of Das Yehudis is that she speaks with all people. It means that she's joking around and having too much frivolity with young men. So derech schok, she's spending a lot of time with them. He said, one time I was walking after Rav Ukva, Chazisi Liyar Vaya, I saw Yishma'elis Tava Yasva V'Kashad Yapilka, who was sitting and she was working with thread Vitova Verad Keneged Paneha, and the chut went down Keneged Paneha Shalmata Kivin to Chazisin, and once she saw me Psikte Lepilka, she took the Pelech, the Kli that she was using, Shadisa, and she threw it toward me. Amrli, and she said, Ulam, young man, Havli, can you go get me, Havli Pelech, get me the thing that I just dropped? Meaning she was trying to make conversation with him, trying to draw him in. So she dropped it on purpose so that she can get him to pick it up for her. So Amar bar Rav Ukva, Rav Ukva said about this Yishmaelis Milsa, he said something about her. So the Gemara says, my Amar bar, what did he say about her? Ravina Amar Tova Bashuk. He said, that's what the Mishnah means about the pretzels of being Tova Bashuk, exactly what she's doing. That she's using the activity that she's engaged in order to start a conversation with a young man. That he said that this is what the Mishnah means when it says midaberesim kol adam is teisish lo b'ksuba, meaning one of the ma'aser pritzos identified in our Mishnah, either tova b'shuk or midaberesim kol adam, was just done by this woman. He said one of those things about this woman. That even a woman who curses his parents in front of him, that no, it's not that she curses her parents in front of him, it's that she curses his parents in front of his children. And that's a terrible thing. The simanayich, and the simin from the pasuk, is from the pasuk of the bracha that Yaakov gives to Yosef. It's a simin of our Mishnah that it's about cursing his parents in front of his children. Ephraim and Menashe, Reuven and Shimon, Yehuli. That Yaakov Avinu says, Ephraim and Menashe, Yosef's children, are like Reuven and Shimon, his own children. So over here also, when his wife curses his parents in front of his children, it's as if she cursed them in front of him, in front of the husband himself. It's that she says, the woman says, let a lion eat your grandfather in front of the son. That she curses, like a curse means, that she says something awful that should happen to your parents, and she says it in front of the children. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Afa Kolanis. And Rabbi Tarfon said that even a woman who's very loud, so my Kolanis, Amar Rav Dimer Shmuel, Mishama Kola Al Iske Tashmish, that she speaks about Iske Tashmish and other people hear about it. That's a terrible breach of tznius. That she suffers Nebuch terrible pain from Tashmish, and when she has Tashmish, she screams in pain that it's heard in other places. So it says, wait, then it's on the wrong list. We have a list of mumin that a woman has and a list of terrible behaviors. This isn't a terrible behavior, that's a mum, Nebuch, that she suffers from. So now it must be like we said originally, that it's not about the pain, it's just that she's a prutza, that she speaks about these things in a public way. Okay, new Mishnah. If a person is Makadish a woman with a tenai that she doesn't have any Nidarim, Vinimshal and Nidarim, but it turns out that she does have Nidarim, so Einim Mekudeshes. Then it's a Kiddush Etos. She's Einim Mekudeshes. Kinsa Stam, if he then does Nisuin without reminding of the tenai, Vinimshal and Nidarim, Tetzish Lobuksuba. And there are Nidarim, then she gets divorced, but she does not get her, he divorces her, so it is a they are married, but they don't. He doesn't have to pay the Ksuba. Amanashin, but Mumin, if he marries her, he's Makadish her. Almanasish doesn't have any mum. The Nimtsuban after the Mumin and after the Kiddushin turns out she did have a mum. Ainu Mukadeshis, it's a Kiddushin Ta'us. But Kinsa Stam, but if he then was Didni Suman without mentioning anything about the Tanai, Vinimtsuba Mumin, and she has Mumin, Tate Shlobuksuba. Then they are married and she's going to need a get, but she does not get her Ksuba. Call a Mumin Apostle Mukan and Apostle Menashim. Any mum that passels by a Kohen would passel by a woman as well. Tanan Nami Gabi Kiddushin Kia Gavna. It happens to be this very same Mishnah, word for word, appears in Maseches Kiddushin. Over here, the real reason we're quoting it is because of the din of the Ksubah, when does she lose her ksuba? So we talk about when is the kiddushin. The kiddushin tells agav that we're talking about a ksuba. Hasam kiddushin is srichalei. And over there we're talking about a kiddushin. So it's on a ksuba satu kiddushin. So we mention ksubas atu the kiddushin. Amr b'yochum shum rishum ben yatzadik be'elim nadarim amru. Which nadarim do we say in the Mishnah that are we referring to in the Mishnah that he takes that he's mekadish al manas that she doesn't have nadarim shlotoch habasur shlotish teyayin shlotish kashid big day tzivonim nadarim avinu nefesh not to eat meat or drink wine or wear big day tzivonim tani namiyachi be'el nadarim amru dvarim sheish ben inu nefesh shlotoch habasur shlotish teyayin shlotish kashid big day tzivonim havi barav papas rav papa explained aheya which din in the Mishnah is he talking about ilema aresha if you're talking about the din in the resha that if you mekadish al manas she doesn't have nadarim and she does she's enemu kadeshes and we say oh no that's only about nadarim avinu nefesh kivin the kakapit well if he's makbid about nadarim I feel kol milinami why does it have to only be about nadarim avinu nefesh ela asefa no this must be going on the din in the seifa that if he's then konis or stam and it turns out that she has nadarim so it's yotzi below ksuba ravashi amar liolam aresha no really it is going on the resha midi dekapti ba insha have a kepeda kepeda something that people generally are makbid about his hakpada counts as a real hakpada midi dekapti ba inchi love kepeda kepeda but things that people are not generally makbid about meaning the darim that do not involve inoy nefesh his kepeda is not really considered a real kepeda even if it turns out that she has these nadarim she would still be mikudeshes. Okay, but Shem will, Elisha will pick up tomorrow at Itmar. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.